This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Good evening. This is Beat Hall, episode number 73. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? On July, C-H-O-O, this is Klaus Schwab. Send me this. This is how you spell it. July, C-H-O-O-L-I-Y, July. 2026, at what date? It's the 7th. The 7th of July, 2026. How amazing. I keep saying, because often there's no shows, you know, the Villa box was down a bit, et cetera, or Joel was doing this and doing that. And so I actually listened to an awful lot of old shows that I've done over the last couple of years on truthmeets.com. truthmeets.com. And again, I'll repeat myself as this is what I've been doing, repeating myself, saying the same stories, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Although that one, I would have to say, even though the last, you know, hopefully this microphone's better than the, I've got a really cheap one. The cheaper the microphone, the better the sound. The last two shows, I sound like Alan Watt in 1998. Hey, Phil. Bye-bye. I'll be back in a minute.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
You'll be told, episode number 73. So that's bad sound. So this is the problem. If I hear bad sound from Joel's end, which I just did then, like it sounds a little crappy. It also means that my voice sounds even crappier because, I mean, he always comes out with the goods. With anything that comes out of the studio, and obviously, yes, I'm using a pair of $15 headphones through my phone. Maybe I need to go and do something about that. Yeah, obviously, I do. But you can actually hear me talking, which is the main gist of the whole thing. But I've got to do something, get a professional microphone. You won't even recognize my voice when you hear it through a proper microphone. You've been listening to me predominantly using crappy $15 to $40 microphones majority of the time. Now, weather report, cold and miserable and wet, and I've been sick as a... I sound like I've got... what's that thing? I'll be mustard gassed in the First World War. The cough that I can every now and then have. I've just been snorting salt. No, with water in it, not just by itself. Just to kind of clear it out a bit. But oh dear, and this is exactly what, is it Norbert? No, Heinrich, the oldest son. He was coughing and spluttering in New Zealand. There's me turning around going, can you just blow your nose properly or do this or do that? God has punished me, and I've got exactly what he had, but probably twice as bad, because I'm, how old am I? Twice as old as him, or three times as old as him. I'm nearly three times as old as him this year. Is that right? I can't even remember. I'm 62, so I think, really? Can I really be that age, 63? So I am three times as old as the son I'm complaining about. Literally, nearly. And my body's done three times more things. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. but it's still going. It's still going. That's why I thought I'd better come on and do a show. I had a poor fakeologist got very upset with me. Oh, dear, oh dear. Now, I don't think he's ever listened to half the stuff I've been doing, because I'm always complaining about him and his platform, or him particularly. I call it kind of bringing up stuff or refusing to move on from his, you know, you will not move from no such thing as things in the sky. Now, I do get this, I noticed from, I had a talking to another guy yesterday, and he said, oh, I don't want to look, you know, I've looked into it, but I can't see much there. And they think, are they trying to poison us? It's like, and this is the classic excuse. They're doing it to every, because this is obviously, they're not just doing it over your head, they're doing it over everybody's head. So obviously it's not some kind of fatal toxic poison, as far as I know, in most cases. With the sky fuckery, it's the best way to call it, sky fuckery. It's, am I going green? Yes, Wayne. It's so many different things. There's high into the, you know, right up there into the atmosphere, the you know, where they're spraying metal particulates, probably to, again, make all this, the communications talk to each other much easier if they're spraying metallic particles and they're using Wi-Fi up there or to a signal from the weather balloon, Satellite, to transmit all their messages, travel better if they're spraying some kind of metal fiber up way up there. But the one that concerns me is the low ones, and the ones that are definitely spraying over there where I live to get the trees to soak it in so we have much worse bushfires or weather manipulation. I reckon there's say 20 different techniques and patents out there. But oh dear, no, you're not allowed to talk about this. What are you afraid of? Da, 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 da. Which is why I've had to leave. And I did leave the platform because I think he was threatening to get rid of me. So I just went, God, see you later. He was very upset, and because he quoted the last show or the one before. Now, the last show I did, Vicious, you're getting some fucking class stories on that one, particularly the one about, I could Google his name, but I didn't even mention his name, the story I was talking about, the officer, my old boss, had a meeting, you know, a cup of tea with, and I couldn't even remember the name, but what's the name of that? Well, there are people, literally, it's freezing cold inside, there are kids walking past with their swimmers on. What is going on in this town? What is going on in this town? Who was I talking about? And what? So the base in Wales, it was in my head before, but whatever. But I was talking about that, and I couldn't remember the name of the base in Wales where the Special Air Service were. It's and I have to tell you the truth, but it's, I'm going to have to mute, and I'll be back. So I couldn't remember it. And then it came into my head. I mean, it's off the top of my head at any given one time. And it was in that film with Robert De Niro. Here I am repeating exactly what I talked about in the last show, episode 72, with Sean Bean in that movie, fantastic movie about the mercenaries. A great cast. Sean Bean keeps turning up playing the same guy every single movie, though. But this time he was the bad guy or pretty hopeless. He wasn't. Well, maybe he is hopeless in every movie. I can't remember. He always gets killed. He got killed in Game of Thrones, etc. Now, let me just clear my head without looking at Google. The base, what colour is the boat shed at? And De Niro says it in a really funny way. Why can't I remember it? Too much information. No, it's got to come to me. I'm not going to Google this. I'm not going to Google this. What colour is the boat shed at? Anyway, It's the breath of the beacons. The Brecon beacons is where they do it. Their base is up there. And very interesting, it ties in kind of where The Prisoner by that was written by Marx that came up with it. It's not M-A-R-X, but there'd be a there. That Patrick McGowan came up with. That amazing village is in Wales as well. And the boss of the whole concept of The Prisoner came up, allegedly, he says, blowing his nose, by Marx, who was the producer of Danger Man, blowing his nose, full of snot. He said to McGoohan one day when they were working on Danger Man, oh, he remembers that there was a village somewhere that old spies could go to, and they could relax amongst old spies. And just by coincidence, they end up filming The Prisoner in that amazing Pontyffynon or whatever it is, the amazing, incredible village in Wales that is like some kind of European, some weird architectural thing that's still there. Have you ever seen the TV show The Prisoner? So there was a link that Mark Steen, told Patrick McGowan his war stories. And if you watch Danger Man, and what a great theme tune that movie has. I have to talk about this also, one of my favourite podcasts of late, the Scarred for Life. Highly recommended. It's on the Rick and Rollo recommended podcast. Just fantastic. I love this stuff. I could just be doing pop culture, really, which is what I want to do with Rick and Rollo. It's all we were meant to talk about is pop culture, interesting things. And it does feed in, obviously, with conspiracy theory or the kind of stuff I talk about. But Hereford, here they go, it came into my head. Hereford, I call it Hereford, but in the movie, De Niro, what's the movie? I can't even remember the name of the movie. It was the name of those Japanese, not ninjas, those warriors. Great movie. And it had also starred that hitman from the French actor was in there. But I love that movie. I remember. I'll Google it and remember the name of it. But it was a great movie starring De Niro, the French actor from Matilda. Whatever his name is, Jean Reno, Sean Bean. It's just a great story. Great, and that will pop into my head too without using Google. My slow analog, 62-year-old brain will actually come in. It will slide in whenever it's ready to come in. But this is the problem, and anyone out there that criticizes me, have you done off the top of your head? See, I don't come in here with any plan. I just literally pressed the button. And in this case, I had to contact Joel because there was no bot in the room and say, Joel, are you working on the platform? And he said, give me 2 minutes. Such is the professionalism of this man. And 2 minutes later, it was back on. Fantastic. Anyway, so where were we going here? What's the name of that movie, though? I need to remember the name of the movie. It's the name of those kind of official soldiers, Japanese, Ronin. There we go. It came into my head. Ronin Farrow. When it ties in with a conversation we've been having about stuff on an older Be Told show. So, yeah, but Ab got, someone must have sent him the show and said, he's running down the fakeologist. He's running them down. And I said, no, it's you I'm having a go at. And he said, you only started doing that when Joel came back with the truth. You know, he's not very happy about this rival platform. I can tell you now. But there's hardly anyone that uses that rival platform. I don't know what his problem is and why he needed to come on when I was having a great conversation with Frank at 4:30 his time and come and ruin a conversation with this garbage about that, what we're scared of stuff and what are we complaining about data centers and technocracy? He fucked it up, not me. He fucked it up. I just got to a stage, and if you listen to, I would say 60% of a Be Told show is me complaining and saying I should be just doing Be Told shows because I'm not happy about some of the things discussed on, or the cult-like behaviour. Hear that cough? Oh, my goodness gracious me. I sounded like I was a mustard gas victim yesterday. And I didn't drink or do anything yesterday, and I felt fantastic this morning. I had a great sleep. I think I'm giving up alcohol for some time, even though I'm not doing that right now. I just made a slow cooker meal for myself, very healthy. Fantastic. But yeah, last show, The Vicious One, 72, there's some fucking good stuff on there. And again, I was talking about stuff and I couldn't remember people's names, but you just have to look at the right-wing kind of tough, he became a broadcaster afterwards and he was in the military. And just by coincidence, about 3 months before JFK, and I'm putting shooting in brackets, like whatever happened, but he was in a lecture in Wales at Hereford. There you go. This is the same guy that was rumoured to be one of the three tramps found in the area. Now, has anyone actually spotted, apart from the QAnon lunatics, JFK since those days? No, it wasn't President Jimmy Carter. Obviously, they're cousins and he's got a similar face, but no. I've never seen anyone that looked anything like him. His son, John, was very erudite and he died. He disappeared. Again, hooked in with a QAnon that these people are there working for you and they're coming to save you. And I mean, this is one of the funniest things on shows like IPS and this new one that I listen to. He is hilarious, parodying all the stuff. The Secret Teachings, Ryan Gable, shout him out. I'm enjoying his stuff. Thanks to Johnny's Wrist or whoever sent me the TST show. Because he puts, he thinks he's, you know, he's kind of exclusive because he's been around for 15 years. And it's like, 15 years? That's not even entry level to me of being a conspiracy theorist. For the 42 or 43 years, be told, way more stuff, being lied to way more times, way more cynical, particularly the UFO stuff. And Ryan, he is doing some really funny stuff by just parodying or showing you what's being said out there by these lunatics. And they are, well, I don't say lunatics, they're just opportunists. The people that want to make money out of gullible people. And they'll come out and they'll say there's all these different, oh my God, it was this one guy that he's on about, is American guy. He's just, this is it. There's nothing I haven't heard before back in the 70s, 80s and whatever. But he's just basically quoting from science fiction films and talking about underground bases and different dimensions. And because he's got a sense, he's a smart guy, obviously, and he can remember all the stuff at the top of his head. And he's just running these stories, and it's all a load of old codswallop. No, he's not in a secret underground base killing, special bred aliens. There are not special commandos with him wearing white hats. He's just making it all up. But there are so many dummies out there that are just white. Well, I shouldn't be mean, but they are. They've just woken up after COVID and they got sucked in and went straight down a rabbit hole with QAnon, et cetera. And they think that Donald Trump, orange-headed man, Donald rhymes with Ronald McDonald, is doing the right thing and they're secretly doing this and we're coming blah, blah, blah. And no. It's not happening for you, let me just tell you. But I also want to reiterate, I say a lot of things about America going down the gurgler. Well, I think I'm 100% correct. Ryan Gable really says a lot of stuff. But I grew up with Disney, etc. My favourite stuff was the Carl Barks Disney stuff, the Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck and those incredible adventures that they were going. Forget about the new version that came out, the DuckTales crap for the kids of the 90s. I'm talking about the 40s and the 50s era, maybe up to the 60s, Carl Barks. Incredible stories, the Junior Woodchucks and the comedy writing of the highest class. I'm going to mute. I'll be back. Talk about it. Keep finishing this conversation without making any noise. And he's back. So I grew up with Disney. I loved it. I couldn't stand any imitation of it. Like there was a British version of the comics came out and they had pounds and pence instead of the dollar symbol of the Uncle Scrooge comics. So occasionally you get an English version and they'd gone through and made saw that the it was pennies and pounds. And I remember getting really upset as like a 7 or 8 year old reading these comics going, no, it's dollars and cents. And look at the symbol of the dollar again. It's the S with the two towels in the middle of it. Just remember that. That's a very powerful symbol. Two towels with a big S. And you can work out that where that S means and who it came from. Yes, yes, yes. But I loved the American, everything American. I was very pro-America. I'm very, obviously, of English kind of blood originally, Scottish, Irish, and whatever. There could be some missing ones there, I've got no idea. But I'm very pro-American, the original America. The original America to me is the Carl Barks America that he wrote in these comics back in the day. Incredible adventures. You're listening to Beethoven.
Proofmates is supported by listener donations. You can support us too. TheTruthMeets.com. Click on the support link.
And I do believe Klaus Schwab sent a donut off to Joel recently. I haven't spoken to Klaus Schwab for some time. We haven't heard Klaus Schwab's voice. You never know. He could come in here tonight. But yeah, back to Disney on the 73rd episode of Be Told. Carl Barks died, I think he made it to over 100, I'm not sure, but he became a painter in his later life. But his stories and comics that he wrote, like the mad comics I read in the 70s, were just superb. And I'll mention, I've got a lot of original Mad comics from 63 onwards when they became a different size magazine. Kurtzman handed it over to William Gaines, and they were just great parodies. I knew more about American history from Mad magazine, and that probably helped me in a lot of ways because they were making jokes of it anyway back then. But Carl Barks is one of my favourite writers, artists of all time. Just brilliant stuff. So I'm not anti-American, but I am saying that America's been sent down the gurgler, not the people, just the politicians right now. And there's no greater example of this than the reflecting pool in, is it Washington? Or wherever it is. This is how hopeless my geography is. But it's gone all green or it's gone rancid. Now, this is not just a coincidence. This is part of the whole image you're getting. Ryan Gable was doing some really good stuff on the show that he does. And he brings this up and he's, you know, he's saying that you're getting arrested if you... apparently, if you go to this, not World's Fair, it's the, you know, is it the sesquicentennial, whatever it is, of America, 250 years? 2 and 5, number 7, Dave J. So apparently, unlike the incredible stories that you'll hear about the amazing world fairs, the latest one in America going on right now is like this Temu version of one of them. And there was a girl that, see, just going to, what's it called, the Secret Teachings, and they haven't listened to the last few shows he's done. he's, you know, snapped a YouTuber going around witnessing what she's seeing at this thing. And instead of buildings that have just been created out of, you know, they build these amazing buildings like in the World Fairs, they're basically using that same stuff as they spray over top of, not spray, it's like a sheet they place over the top of a house or a building when they're doing renovations on it. And it's got a laser printed image of what the building used to look like or some amazing architecture. But it's just a, like a fine veneer that goes over the top of some bland cardboard. And he said that's what they're using there. They're charging $25 for a burger or whatever. There's when you go past the reflecting pool, there's like a constant loudspeaker going, stay away from the pool, stay away from the pool, you will be arrested. You know, there's all these weird, like imbecilic military type things. There's displays at this festival. And I don't know how much it costs to get into the thing of military, those drone dog, not drone dogs, those robot dogs are there. I mean, are these things real? Because it's like, you know, heavy, that, what's that amazing episode of Black Mirror, Metalhead. Was it called Metalhead? I think it was. Well, these robot dogs. Now, moving on sideways here, if anyone thinks that the drones and the rise of the drones and the clones, the like Star Wars has been telling you about, the animated version, these are real. Drones are real. The shark attacks via bad management in Australia are now causing the rise of the drones. So they're basically closing beaches left, right and centre now, so you can't even go surfing on these beaches because the drones flying around spotting 70 or 80 sharks. Obviously they're there. They weren't. You couldn't see them before. But when you've got this hype, these cameras, blah, 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 they're able to shut down beaches. So this is part of the control. Again, the sharks are real. They are dangerous. But they're there because of poor water management. You know, they were fished to fuck back in the day. They also stopped, I'm repeating myself, but I'll keep doing it. They stopped. Basically, we had fishing boats everywhere harvesting bait fish. For whatever the, you know, cat food and all these different things. Now they don't do that anymore. And so there's huge amounts of bait fish on the coast that is bringing in the sharks. Now, if you go to, I think it's called Lake Macquarie near Rolla in Newcastle, have a look at the shark hunter there and what he's filming and what he's catching. He said that it's just beyond, he's never seen so many sharks ever. So, it's a real thing, and that's another reason why I've had to kind of take a back step and stay away from sites that will say there's no such thing as a shark attack. Yeah, or well, you could fake and over-report or make it up, I suppose, if you want to, but they don't need to make it up over here because these things are everywhere. I speak to surfers. I speak to surfers, and they see them. They see them. They're there. They're big, pointy, sharp teeth things swimming around. But what they're doing, because of this poor management, is saying, well, we need more drones. And those drones are being brought down. And they're coming from Israel and China. Israel and China produce these incredible, big, like the Predator drone type thing, much bigger. And they can be used for so much stuff, and they could be easily have an autistic kid with no empathy piloting that thing. And they can easily, and I've said this before, I got laughed at 10 to 15 years ago when I suggested that in the future you won't even be able to fish because they'll have an autistic kid piloting a drone with some kind of a weapon on it, and you're out there and they'll call you a, what's the word for it, eco-terrorist. And I do believe The Rock's last movie, or one of them, they were playing eco-terrorists. So it's obviously a thing. Are they there? So the Be Told shows are independent now. I'm not linking myself with anyone else. I want to be wrong in some cases with the QAnon stuff, but I'm pretty much pretty much guaranteed I'm right, that this was a myth that's been put into your media for you to have hope that the agenda isn't going to be done because you just eat the popcorn. Just eat the popcorn and we'll fix it up. But I don't believe any of that. I think things are really grim. The weather is grim here to me. It's been wet and damp. I'm going to go and buy one of those things, humidifiers tomorrow, I do believe, which suck the moisture out of your house and make it nice and dry. Because it's very moist everywhere, I'll be told. And I'm going to mute for a sec and I'll be back. And he's back. I was just talking about an interesting conversation before with a young guy from the gym. I think he's probably my daughter's age. He'd be in his mid-20s. Really nice kid. Solid. He just looks. I said to him, you got the look. You should be doing some kind. I said, military. He wants to join the military. And I said, go join the military police. They're not very well liked, but it'd be a great job. But he's tried to go into naval intelligence. And I said, so how come you're here and not in the Navy? Because last time I seen him, he was to be accepted and he was going in for tests and stuff. And I assumed he passed. But no, he made the mistake of going into the psych test for the naval intelligence and told every question they asked, he gave them honest answers. And I said, you cannot do that in that kind of environment. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you failed? He said, yeah, I failed because they asked me about my parents and I'm not really happy about my parents. And I told them when they asked me questions, I told them the answers. So they obviously gone, this guy's got parental issues. We don't want him in control of a lot of weaponry. And so they said, come back next year or do some therapy. They're actually quite happy to pay for him to go and do therapy. But obviously, I didn't get the chance to talk to him beforehand. I didn't realize he was going to go and say honest answers. But you cannot do any government test and give honest, honest answers because these things come up no matter what, is that you're a risk. If you have not had the most perfect life ever, and how many people do you think have had a perfect life ever? None. Maybe a few. I don't know any of them, but I'm sure there are. So when they asked him, and he said, my dad was this and that, and I'm a bit angry about this, he failed, and he's not going to get in there until he goes and does a lot of therapy. But this is a fact. You do not tell government querying you anything that may be, unless you've had a perfect life, a perfect life, and most people haven't. I'll move on from that one. What else can we talk about here? Notes. And I talked about this last week, about Klinger on the last show I did last Monday. CK311. Colonel Klink's another one. CK311. Captain Klutt. Don Martin, the funniest stuff ever from Mad Magazine. CK. There's always CKs everywhere. Calvin Klein, et cetera, et cetera. Why is this so? Why is this so? It's because they love that CK. That's 33 as well. 311. And it's what the same date they used for the COVID scam. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Reflecting, Paul talked about that. Now, okay, that's why I want to bring this up. Were you aware, if you wanted to purify your water, say you've got a swimming pool, if you get a big whole lot of pure copper, like bracelets plumbing stuff, old plumbing pipes and stuff, just tie them all together with copper wire and put them in a kind of a whatever shape you like, and just stick them in your skimmer box, your water will be as pure as anything in your pool. Silver does the same thing as well, but I think you have to use an electron, like a bit of a charge with it. And that's what I've spoken this before. I'm not going to repeat myself, but on the Babe movie, I spoke to an old German and he was purifying the water for the animals that were fighting in the scenes in Babe 2, Pig in the City, the colloidal silver. It's so simple. You do not need toxin. You do not need chlorine and stabilizers to purify your water. Salt will do it, but you don't even need salt. But I think it works really well, though, if you've got salt water swimming pool and you just put in pure copper piping into a kind of a, make it into a kind of a melange of it and just stick it in your skimmer box and allow the water, fresh water to go through over the copper. But now, would you think that they would do that at the reflecting pool in America for, you know, the, which is, you know, you saw it in the movie, Laughs Like a Box of Chocolate. You know, and it's all ancient Babylonian, big giant penis-shaped towel with a reflection underneath it. It's all ancient stuff. We've all heard all that. We know all about that. Yes, 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 yes. But if you wanted to purify it, why would they have allowed it to turn into this probably full of algae and crap? It's because it's been done deliberately. I will put money on it. Could you ring up Donald Trump and say, I've got a solution? No, they want that to go rancid as an image for the poor people in America that watch that and go, why is this happening? Why is this happening? But it's happening deliberately, so the rest of the world go, oh, dear, oh, dear. And we've got the World Cup on at the moment. Mexico just got wasted by England. Swing like a pendulum, do. Martha will be happy. Even though I think he supported Scotland, lives in. But I do think he's a Londoner. He'd be over the moon at the moment, drinking vast amounts of pints of something or other. So the English will be over the moon, and I'm not talking about that. This sport is of a level globally now, the round ball sport. Even Americans and Australians are obsessed by it. You know, soccer, for God's sake, the sport of fakery. Now, that's another thing. You can always look at soccer. If you want to look at fake events and fake things, fakeologists. It's soccer, the most ludicrous fakery that you've ever seen in your life, mastered by the players of that game. You know, like a guy just accidentally, you know, his elbow goes, you know, within about, say, 3 millimetres or maybe a foot of another player, and the guy's rolling on the ground. The Italians mastered this. They were the worst too. And I don't think you're allowed to do it anymore. It's this fake injury time, and it's just pathetic. It's like someone, there was a great onion gag the other day that, you know, like a team from Italy went over a speed hump, and they're all dead in the back of the bus. They're lying on the ground screaming. This is the kind of thing that soccer's reputation is about. I would put soccer up there with wrestling, which I was talking about last year. You know, the fakery and ludicrousness of wrestling. And I'm not talking about actual wrestling, because it is a really good art to have, the grapple, to be on the ground, to be able to dominate, because that's where nearly, I'll tell you this now, I would say 90% of all fights end up on the ground, one way or another. Unless it's two boxers, no problem. But the mastering of being on the ground and dominating comes from wrestling, originally, guaranteed. Mm. And actually, suddenly that brings into the thought of my head too, again, with the what's going down with America. About a week or two ago, Donald Trump had a huge stadium set up at the White House. There's a there with the White House. I'm not going to bring it up again, but I've talked about it before. The White House, your palatial castle where Donald Trump's building some kind of underground ballroom. Something suspicious about that one. But anyway, they brought in, they had a world UFC, you know, so that
no way.
Joe Rogan, no way, could be there commentating, I'm sure. What was the logo of the sponsor of the said UFC? Is it three rusty nails put together loosely? Yes, it is. It's the mother. Is it called Mother or? Well, there's three different ones. Two different ones have got the same basic logo, Mother and another one, that are just straight out satanic logos. Particularly the one they're using for Monster Energy, etc. That is not as it so you've got your nails, 9-inch nails, 3 9-inch nails. That's another reason why they called the band 9-inch nails too. Be told. If you could have the most evil, a skull and crossbones is nothing compared to the three rusty nails. Mother and Monster Energy, two different companies doing the same kind of toxic poison for children. That's the logo for UFC. And that would have been on the White House. If that is not point proof where society has gone, or the rulers of America are going and where they're coming from. I'm a monkey's uncle. And I'm 100% correct here.
You're listening to Behold on episode 70.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Fabulous. Thank you, Sarah. On July the, what did I say it was? 7th of July, 2020. That's 7-7. Dave. Where is he? Is it the 7th month? Yes. Can you believe how fast this year is going? I'll be saying that there'll be Christmas trees going up in another 3 months. Such is the level. Every year I say this, that things are shit. We started off bad here with this fuel crisis and potential food issues, which are coming. Sorry to say to anyone that thinks it's not going to come, but there's going to be, food is going to become extremely expensive in countries that suffer from the 7 or 8 months of winter. Be told, it's coming. It's going to happen. We've put down 30% less this year in Australia of our product, you know, using the seeds, et cetera, et cetera. I'll be listening to, again, I'll talk about it, the show Australia All Over with Macca. I listen to real people complaining about real things, and you can tell it's real people. I'll be back in a sec. Sorry. And he's back. Yeah, so Macca's Australia All Over, talked about this before. It is a great show, despite him plugging vaccines every now and then. But you get to hear someone working on, again, a factory that's been the last day of their production after 70 to 100 years of manufacturing glass, et cetera, closing down. You hear real people at 5:30 in the morning to 9:30 or whatever it goes for, talking about real things. You know, Aussies all around the world working in mines, you know, just really interesting stuff. And because I've got the ability to pick a bullshit artist by his tone of his voice, it's fantastic. It's a great skill to have. It's why there's a number of people out there that are unlistenable in my mind. I'm not going to say them, but you know who I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about fakeologists here. I'm talking about some of the other members that were on there. That are just there to get money off you and just to keep you baffled, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if I can eventually go back on there, if he will let me, I probably will. But at the moment, I feel more comfortable doing my own thing. He was very upset with me last week, I just have to say that. But I said it was your own fault. And if you've been listening to me for the last whatever, you would have heard my complaints about various things, particularly wasting people's time. It's just the thing that really annoys me at the moment. And there's arguers out there that psychologists full of them, the Discord. I've been watching this for 8 years and 3 months now. Yes, 8 years and 3 months. Long strands and strands and strands and strands of arguing, of someone saying, particularly, say we've got EGI, chemtrails, what else? Flat Earth. And you'll have someone going through and sending all, collating this and sending links and sending links and sending links. What the fuck for? Because the person you're arguing with is just deliberately getting you to waste your time. You would be better off spending the 35 to 40 minutes, and I'm being nice here because I'm talking about sometimes it'd be 14 or 15 hours of arguing online, going out and digging a garden or going out and helping somebody do something or other. The time wasting online is beyond anything I can even imagine that's going on. Or sending memes, and that's another thing. Discord's a great place to sit. You've got memers that literally think they've saved the earth and they're going to get a medal for sending a meme of a frog flying on a rainbow over a prime, blah, blah, blah. No. It is just an absolute waste of time. Some of it's amusing, yes, but at the end of the day, why not paint your, and I'm looking at them now, all the things I need to do. I haven't been part of this long-winded argument. I probably did back in the earlier days, but not for a long time. You'll hear me continuously. So Ab should not have been surprised at where I was going. I was just going to fucking get out of there after that conversation that he came in and ruined the conversation. It was nothing that I haven't gone back on and just doing Truth Meets just because Joel amazingly turned up on the right night. It was after he came on and then he talked about that other idiot that, what are they scared of? Sounds like beer porn. Nah. I like doing original material here. And not wasting my time. Now, what else will I talk about? I have to say, changing the subject, Australian rock stars. Australian rock stars. They are taller and more genuinely clever in a couple of cases than most other countries have got. So we've got like a Mick Jagger clone from the 70s when Mick Jagger was pretending to be on drugs and pretending to be, a wastrel, absolute bullshit. But it kind of created a character called, and he calls himself Tex Perkins, who's about 6'6", at least. I forget his real name, but he'd be Irish, Australian, I guess, at the end of the day. He looks like what Mick Jagger pretended to be and acts like what Mick Jagger pretended to be. And I think he ended up becoming a junkie thanks to some silly woman got him into it. And he thought, because I have this thing and it's good for me. Well, he is such a charismatic guy, though. He's still around doing amazing things. And he came out of the band The Cruel Sea, but before that he was with a number of other bands, like the, and these guys were the actual Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones pretended to be on drugs and alcohol. The band, what were they called? The Black, So what's his other band? So Tex Perkins was the lead singer of the something to do with alcohol. Anyway, I have to tell you, I cannot not tell you. Here we go. I'm going to Google Tex Perkins right in front of you right now. And I should know all these bands. And they will come to me if I ask myself, my brain, to shut up and just listen. But here we go here. Tex Perkins. Eh, 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 eh. I think Black Milk was one of the names of their album, Perkins. Here we go, Wiki. Wiki. Can you still hear me? I hope you can. Here we go. Dex Perkins, Wikipedia. Greg Perkins, that's born 1964, so he's same age as me. Tex Perkins is an Australian singer. Let's make sure you're listening to me here. Are you listening? Are you receiving me? Good song by XTC. Go away. Sorry, I have to do all this because sometimes I may not be getting recorded. And I am. Okay, so we're going to look at Tex Perkins. Why can't I do it? Wiki. I can hear Leonard Cohen in the background. I'd love to talk about him and him being a hitman, but I'm going to do it another time. I've already done that before. And my coincidence, my theory, he says, looking at the thing about the word Suzanne and him, and it is definitely him and the other singer that are both suspected to be around when John Lennon got shot. Both have songs about Suzanne. I talked about it on the Mark Devlin show. Was that recorded properly? It was. Here we go. Tex Perkins, Greg Stephen. So he's definitely Australian with a name like that. He fronted the Australian and the Cruel Sea, Beast of Bourbon, okay. Thug, James Baker Experience, The Butcher Shop, Salamander Jim, Tex, Don and Charlie, etc. Now, this guy, he looks like what Mick Jagger wanted. He's 6 foot six or 6 foot six. Like he's got total stage dominance. He sounds fantastic, looks fantastic. The Australians really do have really amazing rock stars. And he's kind of only half of what I consider to be as clever as Bernard Doc Neeson from the Angels, which will be leaving the show with the song called Straight Jacket, which is exactly what happens by the public, just by brainwashing, giving a metaphoric straight jacket on. And Doc Neeson from the Angels, 6 foot seven or 6 foot eight, like these guys are huge. The Rolling Stones are about 5 foot seven tall, but little tiny dwarves. I don't think they'd even come up to Doc or Tex's chest in real life. But not only these guys, they could move on stage like you wouldn't believe, sing like you could not believe. Doc Neeson was in the military as a school teacher, but he joined up back when Vietnam was on, I guess. He was a gymnast. His voice, his presence was just second to none, but he had a brain. And he was coming up with, like, he was reading, like, Last Exit to Brooklyn and Nietzsche and et cetera, and putting it into music and No Exit and et cetera, et cetera. And the song Straight Jacket, which you're going to hear soon, if you listen to the lyrics, it is absolutely fantastic. The original version of Face to Face. Now, the Angels came from, against, I think, South Australia, but they were picked up by the AC/DC guys, Bon, Malcolm and Angus, and they said, they supported them. They said, look, you should go and see my brother, George Young, and Dutch guy that was producing the stuff. And they turned them from this strange kind of band that were playing, jug band. I talked about this also before, jug band, on the last couple of episodes. I'm always talking about relevant things. And they turned them into a twin guitar. Absolutely. This is the production place in Sydney, Albert's Records. And I've talked about this before. There's a there, guaranteed, with the Dutch, the black nobility, etc. Because these guys we're responsible, just like the Rolling Stones, AC/DC, Angels and Rose Tattoo helped cull an awful lot of people by just drinking their brains out and getting onto speed and, you know, being off their heads. Rock and roll is there to get rid of you. It is fantastic. If you use it like I do for exercise, don't use it to make you drink more, which is what they did, and sell alcohol and smoke cigarettes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and, you know, take drugs, the evil side of it. Use it as a motivational thing, which is what I've done for many years. Yes, I did, guaranteed. But Doc Neeson and Tex Perkins are great examples of Aussie rock stars that are not little midgets like the majority of other rock stars. Have a look at the average height of your rock heroes in, that you, you know, you thought were these much bigger than you are. The average size of these guys is about 5'6". And AC/DC's case, even less. I'm talking about your front men. Like, I think Mick Jagger's about 5'8" or 5'9" or whatever. But, and then, it's not all of them are tiny, but majority of them are really little people. Tiny people. Like, basically, Oompa Loompas. Yes, they are. Anyway, that might do it for tonight. It's always about an hour that I do, which is amazing how I just get sick of talking after about an hour. But I'll be back now Saturday night and Sunday night. I want to do something. So if you're listening, contact me and we'll organise something. And Sunday, I have to be told they're a Bongo Station at some stage. Or why are they still be called Bongo Station? I want them to be called something completely Dave J's Code of Creation. Hopefully that will happen. But anyway, we'll be listening to an amazing song about being controlled and being forced into being put into a metaphorical straitjacket by Bernard Doc Neeson, RIP, from around 74, 75, from Face to Face. Awesome album. That guy had so much charisma, it was not funny. Oh, my God. Absolutely fantastic. Anyway, let me have a look here. But, you know, so I'll be back. So Saturday night and Sunday night, if anyone wants a conversation, be told. Whatever time, I'm prepared to move my owls around. We've got to have some more head-to-head, face-to-face conversations. Speaking of face-to-face by the Angels, I'll be told. We just breed, I'm telling you, our rock stars in Australia are incredible. Like, look at Tex Perkins and the incredible stuff he's done. And then Doc Neeson, who's, you know, not around anymore, sadly, but much older. Doc would have been 10 years older than me about that. I've seen him one day. Oh, my God. When you see, the guy is like, I'm 5'10" or 5'11". He was like, he'd have to bend down to get through doorways. But on stage, the incredible charisma and the brain of the Irish of, you know, he was well read. He didn't get on with the other guys in the band, which is understandable. But he was just so amazing. And Straitjacket is an awesome song. So we're going to go with Straitjacket, number one. A two, a three. I'll be back on Saturday or maybe tomorrow night. Who's to know? Good night. Bye. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thanks, Joel.